The United States is talking about strengthening sanctions against Robert Mugabe's government. Any new sanctions are expected to be targeted at individuals, not companies. But some say it may be time to put the squeeze on international investment in Zimbabwe. After all, revenues from those investors provide Mugabe with the funds to help stay in power. The World's Jeb Sharp reports.
The mining sector is big business in Zimbabwe, especially gold and platinum. The prices for those commodities are determined by international markets, so even though Zimbabwe's economy lies in ruins, the mines continue to generate revenues for Mugabe. Arvind Ganeshan is with Human Rights Watch.
There are a number of places in the world where there have been serious human rights crises where oil or gas or mining revenue is essentially an ATM for a repressive government. Zimbabwe now is one in terms of the mining sector. It essentially allows them to ignore or go after their own populations because their sources of money and income are totally independent of them.
But it's not easy to cut off those sources of money, Ganeshan says, because there are significant commercial and political interests at stake. One company that's come under attack for its investments in Zimbabwe is the British company Anglo American. It's developing a $400 million platinum mine in the center of the country. Anglo American's chairman, Mark Moody Stewart, defended the investment last week on the BBC.
I believe that we are not in any way currently benefiting the Zimbabwean government. The project is not in production. It will not be in production for some time. And as I said, we face a very difficult choice. Do we progress slowly with the project coming on stream in a few years' time when hopefully the situation will be different? Or do we let it go to the Zimbabwean government, who will probably flip it to someone else for cash?
He said Anglo American was also concerned about its 650 employees and contractors in Zimbabwe. He says their livelihoods would be jeopardized if the company withdrew from the country. Still, he says the situation is under constant review. Anna Fruhoff is a political risk analyst with the international consulting firm Control Risks. She says companies investing in Zimbabwe face a difficult moral dilemma.
The established companies in Zimbabwe, they've long adopted a sort of wait-and-see approach. They've tried to mitigate the risks that they currently face, and they've tried to sort of look to the future without coming under too much accusation that they are bolstering a basically bankrupt regime. Now, that's quite a difficult balance to strike, and because obviously political risks are extremely pronounced.
Fruhoff says it's not easy doing business in Zimbabwe these days. There's hyperinflation, an artificially low exchange rate, failing infrastructure. Power outages have put a dent in mining production, for example. And the government has passed so-called indigenization legislation. It claims 51% ownership of foreign-owned investments. And there are persistent demands for various arbitrary payments from government officials. And that's not all, Fruhoff says.
The problem now is that there is a growing reputational threat and there is a growing sense that sanctions may be more seriously considered, especially if Zimbabwe's current electoral crisis becomes a very protracted standoff. Then there is a growing danger that companies will become caught between the fronts of growing international criticism and a domestic government clamoring for survival.
No one is proposing broad sanctions against companies doing business in Zimbabwe yet, but as the crisis drags on and other avenues of pressure are exhausted, sanctions on business may be on the table. For The World, I'm Jeb Sharp.